to the Cities of Refuge podcast, where we talk about migration, human rights, and the role of cities and local authorities. My name is Barbara Omen, and I'm a professor in the sociology of human rights in the Netherlands and leader of the Cities of Refuge research project. So, those of you who know us and have been following us for longer know that we are based in the Netherlands, in the beautiful province of Zeeland in the southwest. Now, normally we don't talk much about Zeeland, but today is an exception. I'm joined here by my colleague, Sarah Millet, whom you all know well as listeners, and who has done research on Zeeland, on which he just published an article. But we also have two very special guests, two mayors. The mayor of our own hometown of Middelburg, Harald Bergman, who's been mayor since 2012.
Hello, Barbara.
Well, welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
wonderful
you.
To have you
yes.
here. And then also the mayor of the neighboring municipality of Goes, Margot Mulder, who's been mayor since 2018. A warm welcome to you as well, Mrs. Mulder.
Thank you. Hi, Barbara.
Good to have you here. So I think we have an ideal company with which to discuss one of the most pressing issues in Dutch debates at the moment, and that is the emergency reception of refugees. The whole role of local authorities in refugee reception is squarely back on the agenda in the Netherlands because of a current real lack of capacity to receive the amount of refugees that there are. And there has been an alarm by the national government calling on individual municipalities to offer reception facilities. Very few of them responded to this emergency call by the national government, but both of your municipalities did, Middelburg and Goes. And as a first question, I'm really interested to hear why this was. So maybe first, Mr. Bergman, why was it that Middelburg did answer this call?
Well, actually, it wasn't that difficult to answer the call of the government and also the phone call from the Commissioner of the King on that Saturday about 5 weeks ago. We all know there is an urgent problem in the Netherlands with the reception of the asylum seekers. But I think why Middelburg and Goes and also the other municipalities in Zeeland are willing to re-host the asylum seekers, I think it's because it's in our DNA. For centuries, we host asylum seekers in the province of Zeeland, especially when I speak for Middelburg itself. We had in the 15th and 16th century the Portuguese Jews who flew from Portugal to the south of the Netherlands. They came to also to Middelburg. We had the French Huguenots who flew to Paris because of their religion. We had the reception of the refugees from Asia, from Indonesia. My parents are also, I can sort of say, refugees who flew to the Republic of Indonesia. But Croatia, we always were open to welcome them in our city, in our province. And I think it's in our DNA for centuries. So it was not difficult to host the new asylum seekers in the problem that we have in the Netherlands because we cannot give them enough shelter. And when the government urged the municipalities to make work of it, to host them, and also the Commission of the King, then I decided on that Saturday afternoon that we should take more action. And within an hour, I had a decision with my fellow vice mayors to decide in that weekend to host refugees.
So this is how it goes. You get a phone call from the King's Commissioner in the province of Zeeland. So that's the second layer of government in the Netherlands, who then asks, Mr. Mayor, would you
Please
be willing
help.
To do this? And did this also work like this with you, Mrs. Mulder? Did you also get a phone call? And why did you say yes? And did it also take you half an hour? I'm really interested.
Yes, I didn't get a phone call, but I get a WhatsApp message from the boss of the COA, the Central Organization of Refugees. And that's where it started. And a month or so later, we have an emergency shelter again. And maybe about the same as my colleague, we are used to shelter refugees. We did it in 2015 too. And what is in Goes, it is special that there's much social support for it. Maybe because we have a lot of experience with refugees, we have had asylums in the past, but there's not so much opponents about it. So that makes the decision making easy. Because of the experience, because of the social support, and because we were active at the theme already, because we have a Zeeland approach where we try to get a sustainable location in Goes. Dus we have to switch to an immersion unit, but we are already looking for a sustainable location.
That's really interesting to hear also the relationship between emergency shelter and sustainable solutions. And it might be interesting to talk about this Zeeland-wide solution for all 13 municipalities in this province later. On the topic of emergency and sustainability, this is a question that I have. How can it be that now in 2021, suddenly in the Netherlands, there is this real emergency situation, because we get images and news from and all kinds of also alarms really about inadequate shelter conditions, too little shelter conditions. And I'd just be interested in hearing your opinion, maybe also that of Sarah, on how it can be that we got to this position of finding ourselves in an emergency again in the Netherlands. So maybe Mrs. Mulder, do you want to say something about that? And afterwards,
Mr.
Bergman and Sarah, why is this suddenly an emergency?
I think we are running behind facts constantly. We have a long-term vision about a flexible concept to shelter refugees, to give them housing. But I think the negotiations about numbers on national government, I think that is where it goes wrong, because their prognosis of numbers are not very accurate. That's not the reality. And that's why we just get short-term solutions, but we have to grow to a long-term solution, and flexible concepts are going to help that, because a stable situation is important for the social support in your municipality. I see in Goes that when you have an history of refugees in your town, then you have the support. But when it starts, stop, that is no good for the support, no good for refugees. And that leads to crisis and to emergency shelter, I think.
Thank you. That's really interesting. Mr. Bergman, what's your analysis?
It's correct what my colleague says. But what I also see is that we have a policy of accountants in the Netherlands. So the number of refugees are paid by money to the central organization for asylum seekers. We had a time that we had less influx of the asylum seekers in the Netherlands. Of course, in Europe, there was a lot of influx, but in the Netherlands, so the finance department of the central government says, okay, if we have less influx, you get less money. So the COA, the central organization of asylum seekers, had to build down all the housing
facilities,
facilities, because they didn't have that much money to leave the facilities intact. So they have to build down, and some municipalities had difficulties to agree to have an asylum seekers within the municipalities, but they said, we are going to help those people, we are going to facilitate it. But then the COA had to decide, we have to close it down. And when they closed it down, they had to do it because they were lack of funding from the central government. And now we see a huge influx, but there are no facilities. So we are walking behind all the accountants.
And then you say this whole emphasis on bookkeeping instead of the right to asylum that people have, and preempting what can happen, that's an explanation. On this huge influx, I just wanted to ask Sarah, because as I understand it, it's not even that there's many more people coming in than before, right? What's in your research is the cause also of this suddenly being such an emergency situation in the Netherlands?
Yes, thank you, Barbara. I think it is a complex story. It is also true that there are, in recent weeks and months, that we are again seeing that the numbers are going up a bit from before. That said, I think it's incredibly important, like Mrs. Mulder and Mr. Bergman just said, to not focus only or exclusively on these numbers and the borders, because there is a different underpinning rationale here. And that is indeed one of, you know, accountants. And I think the problem with this focus on the state of exception or emergency or crisis framing is that we overlook that we have a situation here where time and time again, we hear that there is a capacity problem, not only in terms of the number of asylum seeker centers that fluctuate a lot. I mean, I remember a few years ago, there were over 100. And then within a matter of a few years later, they were down to 60. So you see a huge capacity fluctuation. And that's across the board. So that is not only in terms of the asylum seeker accommodations, but also the people that are responsible for the asylum hearings. We see this. So we see this across the board. And I think it's very important indeed to look at that underpinning rationale. And to also, I'm really curious to hear what that means for local actors, as we just heard, in terms of maintaining social support, this level of uncertainty.
So let's try to take a more long-term perspective. I mean, Sarah, you've been also studying this for 4 years. You did research in Zeeland already in 2015, 2016. It might be interesting to compare what's happened at the time to what's happening now, to look at the parallels. What are your thoughts on this? Or maybe it's a question for the mayors.
Can I introduce Barbara? I'll just take over. So you both mentioned in your first answers that both Husum and Middelburg have a relatively long standing experience and a lot of experience with hosting asylum seeker centers that actually predates 2015, but also during the 2015-2016 governance crisis, the reception governance crisis, both your municipalities were actively involved in the organization of emergency shelters. We have also studied with our team what happened back then. Could you tell us how the current situation is different from this 2015-2016 period?
Okay, a big difference is with this situation, there is no crisis shelter. There's only an emergency shelter. And in 2015, people were moved in 3 days from one location to another. And that was very stressful for the refugees, but also for the local governments to organize. And that's a big difference with the crisis in 2015. Another thing is that we have more experience to do in emergency shelters. And I think the communication is better than in 2015. Parties are more prepared, are more willing to understand each other. So there's a big difference. The bad thing is, again, emergency, and it's not a sustainable solution in which you can breathe with the flow. That's the bad thing about this situation.
Well, whether you call it a crisis or emergency, it's about asylum seekers, it's about refugees. And I don't think we have a dot on the head because it's a crisis, or another color because it's emergency. They're still refugees, and we have to host them as the Netherlands. We have to give them shelter. And what we need is that we have sustainable locations. And if we have in time, in a year, a less influx of refugees, we can have the locations, the facilities, close them down for what we call, we have them sleep in. So the facility still exists and can be used whenever it's needed. What the Netherlands have decided in the past years is that we close down and we have no facilities at all. And that's the problem we have at the moment. And whether it's called crisis or emergency, we're still talking about humans.
Can I follow up with one question? I remember at the time, one of the challenges, and maybe this relates to what Mrs. Mulder just said, related to communication, that local actors, and I believe mayors included, sometimes did not have all the necessary information about who was coming to the municipality, when or under what conditions. And this was, of course, because at the time, this was something that really, really took a lot of actors, not just local actors by surprise, but also central government actors who then appealed to local and regional authorities to help out. And so I'm wondering now, in terms of the communication in these governance structures, if this has changed. I'm also asking because we know from our fellow researchers that this is something that other local actors and mayors in other countries similarly struggled with in the past, with trying to get more information. So could you maybe also say something about this?
Well, maybe because I'm more busy and working on with refugees on all sorts of levels. Of course, communication is very important, from government to the commission, to the king, to the province and to the mayors and municipalities. But I think it still starts with your own self as mayor, as municipality, and councillors. Are you willing to help the refugees and give them shelter within your municipality? Whether it is a crisis, whether it's an emergency, it doesn't matter. We are willing, as municipality in the province of Zeeland, to host those refugees. And of course, you can say the communication was not good, but I was willing to do within 1 hour to decide with the 5 mayors that we give them shelter that weekend. And I'm not saying that I had enough communication. There was not enough communication because I only had that 1 phone call from the commissioner, but we decided to do it and to put all our efforts on it to make it work. And that cost a lot of energy from my civil servants, from the person from the theater who was willing to give shelter to the refugees in his facility. And that's the communication we needed. Just act.
Excellent. So you emphasize the importance of political will. One question that I do have on this crisis emergency distinction is, so the locations that are provided now where people are staying, what once were crisis locations, it's really the big hall where conferences are normally held outside of Goes. It's outside of Middelburg, the site of Middelburg. It's the place where COVID testing took place, where there were concerts once upon a time when we still had concerts. So it's big halls and it's very, very minimal conditions, which also have been criticized even today with a report by the Refugee Council who say, well, this is not the standards. This doesn't comply with standards. And I'm just wondering how you reflect on that, how you see the conditions, because on the one hand, you've done something where many other municipalities don't do anything. At the same time, conditions, especially because it's not for 1 or 2 days, but it might be for longer, are really substandard all over the Netherlands, but also here. So I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on the fact that you now have crisis shelter for a longer period, in a way. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I haven't read the report, but I did listen to the news this morning, and the Association for the Refugees and also the Red Cross made some remarks on the housing for the refugees at the moment in crisis or emergency. I think that the facilities differ from one province to another and also from one municipality to another municipality. I think the one in Goes and also in Middelburg, it's not the ones you should live in yourself. What we did is that we didn't want any shelter beds, but we agreed also in Goes that we have cabins where 2 people can sleep in it, where they have their own closet, where they can store their own stuff. We arranged that it's warm inside, and we see also images on the news that there are tents where the wind is blowing within the tent, or it makes a lot of noise. Luckily for us in Middelburg and in Goes, that's not happening because it's warm and quiet inside. They have cabins where it's warm. We have washing facilities, especially for them. We have facilities where they can wash clothes and dry it. We have areas also in Goes and Middelburg where they can sit because it was a theater. It's quite new and sort of cozy. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's near perfect. The only thing what they miss is to cook them themselves. There is another kitchen, a small kitchen. So we arrange meals for the refugees. It's made on forehand and it's warm inside. What they would like to do is do something, activities for themselves. I was there last week with the commissioner, and there was one guy. He was a sewing facility built in next to his cabin. So if people would like to sew something, he would do it for them. And so everybody's helping each other. But what we really would like to do is to cook. And yeah, they make wonderful meals. But now it's prepared for them. And the first days, they had collard leaf. It's broccoli or
Broccoli.
It was made for them, but they didn't like it, so it was not eaten.
Yeah.
Because the people who make the meals, they were not prepared for what their taste was. But now it's more adjusted to the wishes of themselves.
I see Mrs. Mulder nodding there, because I'd be interested in your thoughts on this topic. And also, because do you know for how long people are going to stay in the malls?
Yeah, that's difficult, because at the beginning it was the idea that the refugees will stay for a short period of time to go to a real asylum. But the reality is that the people who came to Goes, they are still here. And that is frustrating sometimes, but I can say the atmosphere is very well, and they are playing music together, they are playing football inside, outside. And I think it's very important they can go for an intake at the IND, so they can go into the process, because that gives perspective, and that's the most important.
Just for our listeners, the IND is the Dutch immigration authorities that are responsible for the asylum hearings.
So if I listen to the two of you, you are clearly committed to taking up responsibility in the reception of refugees. And of course, in most countries, asylum governance is organized centrally. I was wondering, at a more broad level, you as mayors, how do you see the division between the central and the local government in the reception of asylum seekers to ideally be? What do you think is a good balance?
The problem, I think, between local government and central government is that there is not proper balance. Because it's also always the central government who decides without asking local government how they can assist and help, or how policy work out on local government. So what we see in general is that central government decides lots of policy, and also the parliament decides many things to add to the policy. But the consult with the local government is not that common and not properly used to ask local government to help within the decision. So what we see is that central government decides, sees a problem, say, oh, well, we have to act and work, and they decide on an abstract level. But you see, on the end of the day, is that the work that has to be done, it has to be done by local government. So we are always at the end of the road waiting to see what crumbs lies in front of us, and that we have to act. And that's the problem. Well, luckily in the Netherlands, the local government is willing to act and to help. But what we see in other countries is that central government decides what will happen. They act and make work that you have a facility within your municipality, whether you like it or not. So that's another process that you can choose for. But I think we are used to how it works, central government and local government. And I think it's in all in the heart that we are willing to help the refugees. So it's not that much of a problem.
Yeah. Not and, here, and, but generally.
Refugees, yes,
and you do feel that you're not consulted enough as local authorities.
No, we're not consulted. And otherwise, it's another party organization in between who consult us, but not the government. But on the other hand, I said, when you have refugees within your municipality, when they receive the Dutch nationality, they can live within your municipality and they can broaden your horizon within your municipality. So what you see, some municipality see it as a burden, but actually you should see as a profit
As a benefit.
Yeah, so
that's
benefit.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very
nice. It can help your economy, and especially municipalities within Zeeland, but also other small municipalities, that you see there's a lack of people who can help your economy. In hospitals, most refugees are highly educated, so make use of their skills.
To what extent, the people who are in Middelburg and Goes now, is there a chance that they will eventually receive asylum refugee status and live here in Zeeland? Because we have a system by which people get sent to certain places. Is there a chance that they will stay in Zeeland?
I can only hope for them that they can stay in Zeeland, but that is something that Goes and Middelburg are asking to the COA, is to make sure that the people who stay here, that they are connected to the municipalities and can live here because they build up a society around them. They are connected with the people, with organizations. So it can help that they are allowed to live here in our municipalities instead that they have to leave here and go to Limburg or to the north of Holland. Then they have to build again new connection over there with society. And I think it would help Hoofs and Middelburg if they could stay and work here.
And that is changing, I think. A couple of years ago, that kind of opportunities was not given to us as municipalities. And now they are more looking for matching between the background of refugee and the labor market of the region where you can settle when you have permission. And there's more flexibility in numbers where you give shelter on. So there is more flexibility in comparison with a few years ago. But still, it is true, the central government ask and we are delivering. That's true. That's the system.
In a way, it's really sad to hear, because if I explain the official system in the Netherlands to people, I always say, well, we don't have levels of government. The central and the provincial and local government are considered to be in an equal partnership. But I get from you that you say, well, this is more the paper reality than how we experience it as local authorities.
Yes, but I think it's getting better on this issue. I see a progression. And I think that's a good thing. And in Zeeland, it's true, we need new inhabitants because we have an aging, an older population. And for us, it's very good to have more people here. And for them, it's good to live here. So it's not only a problem.
Sarah, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm just also curious because I know that apart from the emergency shelters, your municipalities are also at the moment developing plans for long-term sustainable refugee shelters. And you have both mentioned that you see refugee reception as a duty and as a benefit to the locality, and also in terms of the qualities and the skills that people bring. I'm also curious, do you see opportunities in terms of organizing refugee shelters in a way that benefits the locality or the municipality in different ways? So apart from the qualities that people bring, do you see possibilities for refugee shelters to also bring development opportunities for local infrastructure, for instance?
Yes, we are looking for a location right now in Hoes for a new asylum center, an unsustainable one for 15 years or longer. And we want it to be in the center and not far away, so we can combine different target groups. But I think for integration with the surroundings, it's better to do that in the center, because there are nice examples in the Netherlands, in Utrecht, for example. You mentioned it in your text. And I think that are the good initiatives to integrate really the refugees in your community.
That's really nice to hear. Mr. Bergman, Sarah's question on advantages of refugee reception here in Middelburg, do you see that as well?
Yes, I also see that as well. So it's not only the skills that you can make use of, but what we also must not forget is that we must make sure that there is an integration and there is a friendly reception from the actual inhabitants, and that they connect together. That it's not a few people from churches who are always willing to help, but we have the rest of society also are willing to help the integration of the asylum seekers. We have an asylum seeker center at the moment. We decided first for 5 years and then for another 5 years. We are in the second term of the 5 years. And we are now working out a plan to make accommodation for a new asylum seeker center within the community. And we also have it now in the community because it was an empty elderly people home. So that was quite easy, but we have to find a new location at the moment. But I always say we have enough meadows here in Middelburg, but that's not the place where you would place a new asylum seeker center, because you want to have them integrated. You want to have to come to the shops. We want to have to come to the schools and to make sure that they are part of our society. Then you should not place a new center outside your city, but you have to place it inside your city. The problem is that the COA and the national government want to have huge centers, facilities, and that will be a problem. There was a time that we wanted to have 600 to 1,000 people, but that I cannot house within my municipality, within the center, in the local areas. So we are looking for about 300, 350 people we can house. And well, we see next year what will happen, then where we can build it. And if it's not necessary anymore, then we have normal houses or apartments where other people could live within.
That's really, really interesting. And it's actually something that Sarah also writes about in her article on Zeeland. So maybe to our listeners, I can really recommend that article. She also really describes how central standards, for instance, the need to receive 600 refugees as in bulk, say, how these central standards also make it more difficult from smaller municipalities, such as these in this more rural part of the country, to accommodate people and to make sure that they integrate well. So I think we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about emergency shelter, but also about sustainable solutions. And we've seen, I think, also examples of these sustainable solutions, and most definitely of mayors who are really pulling their weight in making this happen. So I think this is a time to thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and experiences with us and with our listeners, and to wish you the best of luck in your work. And Zeeland always calls itself the province of freedom. This is because of the four freedoms, amongst others, that are handed out here. And I think this conversation also shows how such an idea also translates into action that really benefits people who need it most. So, dear listeners, until the next podcast, and thanks to all.